Big Ab, Malachi, Zachariah, Malachi. I take a nap while y'all look. Keep me up loud, Tommy. Haggai chapter 2. And if you got a Bible just like mine, it's on page 963. Anybody found it? Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, and it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, for the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 4 20th day, in the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer, there is unclean. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward, for from before a stone was laid, a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when there was when one came up to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with all hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, for this day and upward, and from the 4 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. It is the seed, yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach, wisdom to preach. I pray you give us receptive heart, hearing ears. Help us to glorify thee and help thy people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, the Lord is chiding with Israel through Haggai because they are backslid. They're not living like they should. They have not kept the commandments of the Lord. They have not kept the feast day. They have not honored his temple. And things are not going well for them. God is not pleased. And of course, their crops have failed, and God has shown his displeasure by the things that he has allowed to happen in their life and in their country. And three times in that passage that we just read, you see that little word consider. That means to think about, to meditate on, to ponder, to muse over. And God wants his people to consider their ways and what they're doing. And I want to take a thought just from that word, to consider. And bring you a message this morning
on things people ought to consider. Now, I have a little preamble to the message I want to give you, and I have seven little basic points, things that people ought to think about, that they ought to consider while they have time and opportunity. The day may come when you won't be able to consider those things. Tommy, are the monitors on? It's really flat up here. It's just dead. All right. Now, you live in a generation that is not prone to considering things. We tend to let the talking heads on the TV do our thinking and our reasoning for us. We pick up a newspaper or Time Life Look, U.S. News World Report, Reader's Digest, or some other scriptural institution and read an article in there, and as far as we're concerned, that's the beginning and the end of the matter. So-and-so said, and it has to be accepted that way. And we don't really tend to think things through ourselves. We just borrow our information from the writers of major publications and from television, and we banter about and repeat and parrot what they say. We don't give much consideration to what we're doing or what the result of it is going to be. If people gave any consideration to the end of a thing, there are a lot of things people would never do. For example, if a person thought about the end of drinking liquor, they'd never start. If people could give consideration to the end of smoking cigarettes, they'd never light the first one. If people gave any consideration to a life of being promiscuous, they'd never start. But they never consider the end. They only think about the now. Well, what's pleasant, what's fun, what's pleasing, what's gratifying for the present moment. We don't consider how it will end down the road in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years. We act like our life only consists of today, and tomorrow is somebody else, and so we don't tend to consider. Now, if we considered, things would be a whole lot different than they are. Consider this. You live in a generation that wants to save the baby whale and will spend $62 million to save the baby whale and then kill 1.5 million baby people every year. Consider that. That's a weird thing. Consider this. We passed the Clean Air Act because we want our air unpolluted, and then we pollute the mind of our young people with television and pornography. We preserve the rainforest and destroy the family. We're worried about ozone depletion, but we promote moral erosion. We are ecology-minded, but we are not eternity-minded. We protect the creation and deny the Creator. We educate the mind and neglect the soul. We legislate civil rights and prohibit individual rights. Gay rights are protected and Christian rights are trampled. Political correctness is advocated and historical truth is perverted. We conquer space and can't control a child. We fight AIDS and promote homosexuality. We fight crime and disease and release criminals from prison. We pay for pornography and promote remove manger scenes from public squares. We pray in Congress, but not in school. Prisoners get Bible, school kids get condoms. Diana was a princess. The market is up, so character doesn't matter. We live for today and forget tomorrow is coming. We abort the babies and assist the elderly in suicide and forget we were one and will be the other. We exercise the body, but not the mind. We ensure safe sex, but not a saved soul. We have national and personal debt, but promote the lottery and install poker machines. We have a national drug czar, and the government controls the sale of liquor. Cops are in the hall, condoms in the nurse's station, dope in the parking lot, guns in the locker, learning is in the trash can, dress code is out the window, minds reel with rock and roll, abortion is in the eighth grade, rebellion runs rampant, and the government focuses on proper racial balance in the local school. Somebody's not considering things. Amen. The world you live in is a chaotic mess. Never in the history of the world have we had so many paradoxes in one civilization, where we say one thing in this side of our mouth and practice the other in the other side of our mouth. Our country does not consider where it's going. It does not consider what it's done. It does not consider the cost of taking God out of the school and out of the public forum. But one of these days, whether they consider it or not, it will be brought abruptly to the forefront of their mind. Now, while our nation is not given to considering things, we are not much on thinking or pondering or musing. I want to give you seven things this morning that you would be well advised to consider while you can. Number one, you ought to consider this, that youth is fleeting. Now, everybody knows that except the young. They think they know everything and that they are smarter than everybody else on the planet, when in reality, they are dumber than a red brick. They don't have the common sense God gave a brass monkey. If they did, they would be aware that the youth they now enjoy will soon be gone. It will be history. They will not for always and forever be as young and vibrant and full of life and energy as they are this minute. But you can't tell them that. That's a sign of their density and their basically inherent stupidity. They cannot see beyond today. They feel good. Things are looking up. They're full of life. They want to have fun. And they think that it will be that way forever and ever and ever. And brother, it won't be long till they'll be looking back and say, where in the world did it go? Now, you and I know that. We've been there, done that. Amen? I once was young, and now I'm old. And it seems like it was just yesterday I was just 17 or 18 or 20 or 25. I'd give my right arm to be 30. I'd like to be 40 again. But it is gone once and for all, forever. But you can't tell young people that. But listen, young people, it would serve you well to consider that soon your youth will be gone. And your energy will depart with it, and your ambition and your fire, your zeal, your zest will go with your youth. The battles you think you can fight today, the wars you think you can win now, the things you think you can conquer today will be too big for you tomorrow. They will rise above your head and conquer your ability, and you'll wonder where it all went. If you're going to get anything done in life, now's the time to do it. While you are young, while you have the strength, while you have the energy. And listen, you ought to consider where you spend that youth. Don't let it be a misspent youth. Don't spend it on wine, women, and song. We don't want to eat, drink, and chase Mary all the days of our life. One day you'll wake up and there'll be nothing to show for the years that you had. Listen, consider this and spend your youth serving God. Do something worthwhile. Serve Him. Be a credit to yourself. Be a credit to your family. Be a credit to your nation. Be a credit to your God. Consider what you're doing. Consider your time. Consider where you go. Consider who you see. Consider what you participate in. And live your life so that no man can despise thy youth. That's a Bible admonition. Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth. You ought to consider some things. Consider where your lifestyle is taking you. Consider how it will end up. Consider what it will do to your body. Consider what it will do to your mind. Consider what it will do to your soul if you pursue it like you are today. Young people ought to consider this, that your youth will not last forever. It will soon be gone. And then you will live it with the rest of your life with the memory of what you did in your youth. You will live forever with the memory of what you did with your youth. You better consider where you're at. You better consider what you're doing. You better consider the consequence. I know that's difficult for young people. They're just so full of life. They have all the answers. It's hard to get them to stop and to think. But it would serve you well. It would behoove you to sit down and shut up a little while and think about some things and see where you're going. You ought to consider giving your life to Jesus Christ and serving God while you have the strength and energy to get something done for Him. I guarantee you, when you grow old and the wrinkles come and the strength is gone and the ambition perishes and desire fails, I guarantee you, if you spent your life serving God, you won't regret your past. You can look back and say, I did that, and I did that, and I accomplished this, and I served there, and I got this done for God, and I'm glad I did it, and I'm proud I did it, and my conscience doesn't bother me. You got to consider some things. You got to consider that youth is fleeting. You got to consider this, that health is decaying. I went to a gospel singing Friday night. The new Hensons were out there moaning and groaning and doing whatever it is they do. I tried to sleep. We went out and listened to them. But while we were there, there was a man there. And when we first walked in, my wife made the comment, there was something wrong with that fella. He looked like he was dying. He had that look on his face. And sure enough, after a while, his son got out and gave a testimony. His dad had been to the doctor, and they'd given him about 2 months to live. He's dying with cancer. Then a man gave a testimony, and to make a long story short, the fella had spent his whole life. He's only, didn't he say 46? Something like that. Anyway, just a young man, but he's dying. He'd spent all of his life in the bars. A smoker and a drinker. He liked country music. He was a singer and a guitar player. And he spent his whole life just enjoying himself down in the bar, drinking the booze, chasing the women, listening to the music, smoking the cigarettes. And now he's dying. His health is gone. His body is racked with pain. Really stand up. He was emaciated. I mean, he was just skin and bone. All the muscle was gone. When he moved, his hands shook. He had to walk with a cane. I'm not about a man under 50 years old, but his health was gone. They say the most priceless thing you possess is health. Now, I don't know if that's so or not. I've looked at that thing, and while health is important, if you're out of time, you're out of everything. So I'm not sure whether health is the most important thing or not, but it's certainly up in the top one or two. Amen. People say, well, I feel good today, and I'm strong today, and look, well, listen, I can say that. Look how handsome I am. Look at this. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning, and I said, Bob, you are one handsome dude. I didn't really say that. My wife said that. Feel good, strong. Man, this is just like steel right here. You do not want to mess with these. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm saying I've got health today. But you know, I can remember back. I'm 54, almost 55. And I can look back and I can remember when I was 25, 26. I was taking karate 2-3 times a week, 2-hour classes, working out almost every day. I used to could stand flat-footed at arm's length in front of my refrigerator and put a pencil on top of it and stick it out an inch and kick it off. Now I can't get my foot up to the handle on the door to open it. I cannot remember the guy that used to get his foot up here. My body just doesn't work like it used to work. And I bet you there's some other folks in here can say, boy, I used to have health, I used to have strength, I used to have agility, I used to have mobility, but somewhere along the line I've lost it. It doesn't work like it used to work. Everywhere I look, I talk to people who have got this problem or that problem. And people come up and say, would you pray for this one and pray for that one? This one just had surgery and so on. I was talking to a little old singer last night where we got through loading the bus back up. And I was standing there talking to him. He said, a preacher, he said, I want you to pray for my wife. I said, well, sure. I said, what's the problem? This fella's in his late 20s. His wife had an ovarian cyst that ruptured and spread poison all through her body. He said, preacher, said, I want you to pray. He said, because in gospel singing group, we said, we don't have insurance. Just a young woman, but her health is a problem. See, you're not immune to it just because you're young. Not everybody lives to get old. Not everybody is healthy in their youth. Boy, you ought to consider that your health will decay. You say, why do you need to consider that? Because one of these days it's going to decay to the point you die. That's why. One of these days you're going to quit breathing. They're going to take you out back and put you to bed with a shovel. Your body will assume room temperature and you'll become food for the maggots. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your age is today. Slowly but surely, if you are in the most perfect of health today, it is only a matter of time until your health decays and that old body you're carrying around falls apart. You ought to consider that it won't last forever. It won't live forever. It won't work forever. It's going to crumble on you. You ought to make preparation for the day when your body won't serve you anymore. So what do you need? You need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ every day of your life. You need Jesus Christ as you grow old. But one of these days, buddy, when that old body falls apart, when your health is gone and life flees from that carcass you're toting around, you're going to need Jesus Christ on the other side. Somebody say amen. You better consider that your health won't always be there. You better consider this, that the downhill run is a swift race. I've made this point over and over again, and it's a well-made point, that when we're little, time drags. When you're young, you think everything is going to last forever. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to you about something, and I remember talking to you about the first Christmas I could remember. And my mama talking to us about Christmas was coming. And I think she told us that for 2 or 3 years before we got here. I mean, it just drug on and on and on and on and on. And from one Christmas to the next was a millennium. I mean, it was forever and ever. I remember as a teenager, from 1 year to the next, for school to be out and go on summer vacation, it was just the longest imaginable period of time. Now, I'm not much older than that, but things have certainly changed. Now, every time I turn around, it is time to pay the taxes. Every time I turn around, it is time to repay the insurance. I wish I'd get something paid one of these days and not have to pay it anymore. Amen. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying that time drags when you're young. And as you grow, you don't notice that time begins to pick up speed. It's so subtle. It's so slow. It doesn't hold a banner up and wave it. Time begins to accelerate, though. And as you get older, time moves faster. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day, and it suddenly dawns on you that something just happened the other day, and now it's happening again, and you look at the calendar, and it's been a year. Before you know it, you look back on your life, and you say, no, we've been married 20 years. We've been married 30 years. I look at my wife, and she looks like to me she's still 18, but the truth is, we've been married, how long? 38 years. She got me when I was a kid. 38 years. Still seems like my bride to me. I'm still enchanted. But it's been 38 years. Boy, you look back and you say, talk to somebody about their kids, and I've got to look way back. I mean, way back to remember when our kids were little. Yet on the other hand, seems like it was just yesterday. All my kids are old. Really old. But it was just yesterday. I can remember them walking through the house. One of my favorite memories is my girls had long blonde hair, naturally blonde hair. Not now, but it was then. And my wife would buy them these little flannel gown things, and in the evening, my wife would bathe them and get them ready for bed, and she would brush that hair, and it would just sparkle like gold. And they would walk through the house playing. And I'd see them little, and they were just like little angels. I don't know what happened. But I mean, I said, when was it? Just yesterday. And now my youngest daughter's got kids 10 years old. I don't know where it went. It just, time was so slow. And I don't know where it picked up speed at. But I know this, in the last couple of years, man, it's just like a freight train downhill. It just click, 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 click. I mean, just one picture, one situation after another. I don't know where it's headed. I know it's headed right at the bottom of the hill. I know my life is on the downhill side, and it seems like it's accelerating every day. And before I know it, I'll be old and gray and ready to die, and I'll be wondering, where did it go? What happened to it? How in the world did I get here from right there? Just yesterday I was there, and today, you ought to consider that you're going to reach a point in your life where your life takes a turn for the downhill side, and that body begins to fall apart. One of these days, you'll be looking at your maker, and you'll wonder how in the world you got there. Well, consider this. I wish people would consider this. Actions have consequences. I've been preaching that for 26 years. I try to get that in about every second or third message. Some of y'all are probably sick to death of hearing it. But as long as you come here, by the grace of God, you're going to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. Actions have consequences. Now, if we would consider our actions, we could avoid consequences. People say, well, we just wanted to do this. We just wanted to have fun. Yeah, but what you did has got a consequence to it. There's a payment to be made for it. There's a law in the universe for every action. There's an equal and opposite reaction. You cannot do things without repercussions for it. Actions have consequences. Listen, when a little boy entices a little girl into the back seat of a car, there's repercussions. Somebody say amen. So I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, there is the door, and we'll still be friends if you leave, but I'm here to tell you that your actions have consequences. That fella that takes that first drink, there's a good possibility he's going to have a serious drinking problem or be an alcoholic. There's a consequence to your action. The Chinese have a proverb that said, man take drink. Drink take drink. Drink take man. Amen? Let me tell you something. You get out there messing with the dope. You hang around with the dope crowd and the people that are doing the dope. And sooner or later, you'll try it. And pretty soon, if you ain't careful, you'll be hooked on it. You say, why is that? Because actions have consequences. A couple weeks ago, two boys walked into a high school and started shooting. And they killed 13 people, and left a bunch of them wounded. And now there is heartache and heartbreak all over that town and all across our country. Say, why? Because their actions have consequences. That's why. You cannot play with fire without getting burned. All y'all saying amen, but let me tell you something. Actions have consequences. You mama and daddies that got kids that don't bring them to church, there's consequence for that. There's a payday. You say, what was my action? Your action was inaction. Your action was lack of dedication to the things of God. You sat at home. You didn't require anything out of them. And bless God, now you get nothing out of them. Not all negative. There are consequences for our actions. You don't teach your children about God, they won't know about God. You don't take your children to the house of God, they won't come to the house of God. You don't teach your children to tithe, they won't learn to give. Amen. You don't teach them right and wrong, they're probably not going to get it. You don't bring them to church but once a week, and you put them in school 40 hours a week. How in the world they going to get to? You want to give them your morals and your values, and you let somebody else teach them. Well, somebody else is going to teach them their morals and their values. If you want yours in their head, you know who's got to do it? You got to do it. And if you don't, there's a consequence. You consider this. Death is certain. People live like they think they're going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. You're not going to make it. People say, well, I'm still young, or I'm just in my 30s, or I'm just 40, I'm just 50, I'm just 60. When are you going to be just the right age to get right with God? We always think we got some more. Here's a guy's 85 years old, and he wants to put things off. He's not ready yet. He's still got time. Well, he's running out. Amen?
I'm here to tell you that death is certain. That Bible said is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And listen, you can see death coming. Let me show you something. Come here, Seth.
Come here, boy. This is my partner.
We partners? Now look at that flesh. You see that? Isn't that pretty? It is so smooth and warm. I love to hold him and play with him. He's my favorite toy.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
Oh, no,
but now,
I'm not.
Now, look at that skin. See how pink and pretty it is? Now, look at mine. It don't look the same, does it? It does not look the same. See, what's the difference? 51 years. This is what life has done to it. See, I'm dying. See how pretty and fresh he is and firm? Look at him. You see death coming? Take a look. Look. You can see it. It's on its way. It's going to get him one of these days. It's working on me. And it's about got him. And I'm here to tell you it's going to get you one of these days. So let him sit down. Thanks. Better consider the death is going to come knocking on your door one of these days. You think you're going to live forever? You think you're going to escape? You think you're going to be the exception? I've got news for you. You ain't going to make it. You're going to die. And you better... There shall it lie. You die lost, you spend eternity lost. You die saved, you spend eternity saved. You better get that fixed while you can. You better consider the day of your death and prepare for it. Now is the day of salvation. You need to trust Christ today. Can't wait. Consider this. Judgment is sure. Now, I wish that weren't so. I wish that when life is over and you pass out of this body, and you stand before God, there was no judgment. But there is. That Bible said that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Talking about Jesus Christ. There's a day of judgment coming. One of these days, you're going to give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Judgment is coming. You say, well, why do we need to consider that? Because if you're going to get judged for the way you lived and the things you did and the things you said and the things you thought, then you ought to make sure that you say the right thing, think the right thing, do the right thing, live the right kind of life. You ought to give some consideration to the fact that you're going to be judged on how you live the life that God gave you. Now, if you were convinced that you had to answer for it tomorrow, you'd make sure that you live right today. But everybody thinks they got all time to get in the world to get ready. And when I get down to the end, I'm going to confess and repent and get everything fixed. I wish it worked that way, but it doesn't. You know what happens? Most of us die when we least expect it. You ever hear that little adage, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree? You know, you get a mindset, you get a pattern of putting things off and waiting and delaying. The older you get, the more you set you get in that pattern. So here's a fella, 95 years old. He's on his deathbed. And for 75, 80 years, he's been saying, not now. I'm not ready yet. One of these days. And he's on his deathbed. He's 95. He's fixing to leave this world. And he's still saying, not now. Not today. I'm not ready. One of these days. You better consider those kind of things. One of these days you're going to die, face God, and then you're going to give an account, a judgment for how you lived your life. Consider this. Youth is fleeting. Health is decaying. The downhill run is swift. Actions have consequences. Death is certain. judgment is sure, and eternity is forever. One of these days you're going to step out of this world into the next. Now you're going to leave this world in one of two conditions: saved or lost. And you're going to face eternity that way. Boy, and if you're saved, if you're here this morning and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been born again by His Spirit. You're a child of the King. You've been adopted into His family. If His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of the King, you know that you know that you know that you passed from death unto life. Boy, when you hit that old gate of death and step through on the other side, I'm telling you what, life has just begun. They used to have a program on that said life begins at 40 or 80 or something like that. You know, right, listen, life, if you're saved, life begins when you die. There's a quartet a couple years ago had a song that said, when the time of my life is over, I'm going to have the time of my life. That's true. If you're saved, boy, things just get to rocking and rolling when you check out this. You get rid of this old sin-cursed body, this thing that holds you back and holds you down. You get rid of this hindrance. Man, you can live for God. I tell you what, when you get up to heaven, life just got started for saved people. It's going to be forever and ever and ever in happiness and bliss and joy and peace of mind and contentment and peace of heart and tranquility with friends and loved ones forever and ever. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. It's going to be great if you're saved. If you leave this world lost, you're going to face an eternity lost. You are going into a Christless grave, into a devil's hell, to be tormented day and night, forever and ever and ever and ever. There will never be a let up. There will never be a day off. There will never be a recess. There will never be a vacation. There will never be a furlough. When you hit the fires of hell, you will burn forever and ever and ever. And all the sorrow and all the crying and all the begging and all the remorse and all the repenting that you can ever do will not change it one bit. It will not cool the flame one degree. You will be tormented. So ugly. Why do you have to be so nasty? Because it's real. Hell is real, and real people go there, and real people suffer. God doesn't want you there. That Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you go to hell, you'll be a misfit. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. The fall of man was an afterthought. God doesn't want you there. You don't have to go there. Consider this. God made a way. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't want to go to hell, if you want to spend eternity in heaven, consider what I say. Repent of your sins. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be born again. Live for Him. That's not hard. It's not complicated. But you need to think about it. Consider. Isaiah chapter 1 said, come, let us reason together. You need to think about it. Where do you want to spend eternity? What do you want to give an answer for? I don't want to answer for a whole lot of sin, do you? I don't want to spend eternity in heaven. I've considered it. There are only two options: heaven or hell, obedience or disobedience, life or death, saved or lost. I considered. I chose life. I'll take Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're saved by God's grace, you ought to be rejoicing and shouting and thanking God for His unbelievable goodness. But if you're here this morning and all you are is religious, if all you are is good-hearted, if you're just doing the best you can, but you've never had a life-changing experience where you met Jesus Christ and received Him as your Lord and Savior, you ought to come today. You ought to consider. Consider where you're at. Consider how little time you have left. Consider how few opportunities you'll have. Consider the consequences of missing it. You ought to come. Let's pray. Sister Sue wants you to play this morning, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Go ahead and play. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to stand up. Ask you to consider in your own heart. Stop for just a minute and meditate. Ask yourself. Ask yourself. Am I really a Christian? Have I ever had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? If I died today, would I go to heaven or hell? Consider it. Be honest. Don't lie to yourself. And if you're not saved, why don't you get up and come down this morning? Let me take a Bible, sit down with you, and take as long as we need to take. Show you how to be saved. Show you how you can know that you know you're a child of the King. Why don't you come this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved, and you know you're saved, but you haven't lived like you ought to live. You've gotten away from God. Your heart's got cold. You've let things come into your life that ought not to be there. Why don't you come today and get that fixed? There's not a better dime than right this minute to get right with God. Why don't you come and instead of just letting Him be your Savior, let Him be your Lord. Why don't you come do that this morning? God spoke to your heart. Why don't you move as the sister plays? Don't miss a chance. You ought to come. Preacher, if I get up and come down there, people think all kind of things. Don't fool yourself. They think all kind of things anyhow. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Appreciate the privilege to...